Uhuru, uhuru, and welcome to Solidarity Not Charity here on uhururadio.com, the weekly broadcast of the African People's Solidarity Committee. And we want to, as always, thank the African People's Socialist Party for letting us have this program each week where we can talk to you about building genuine solidarity from the white community in solidarity with the African liberation struggle under the leadership of the Uhuru Movement and the African People's Socialist Party. And this, I'm Sandy Thompson, and in the studio with me is Penny Hess, chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee. Uhuru. Last week we talked about we did sort of a part one on Haiti. We talked about the history of Haiti and the unrelenting attacks by the U.S., France, and the colonial forces, both economically and militarily, against Haiti for the past 400 years. And we're going to continue to talk about Haiti and kind of bring things up to date this week. So we know that it's a really important question given the terrible earthquake that took place and all the activity that's happening in Haiti right now and that's directed at Haiti right now. Before we get into that discussion, I want to let our listeners know that the Black is Back Coalition is organizing a march and rally to defend Haiti in Miami on February 20th at 10 a.m. And we want to definitely encourage anyone who can get to Miami to participate in this march and rally. It's going to take place at the rally will be at the Athali Range Park, located at 525 Northwest 62nd Street in Miami, beginning at 10 a.m., and then it will march to the U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Center at 12 noon, and the Immigration Center is located at 8801 Northwest 7th Avenue, Miami. And the demands of this march are that reparations should be paid to Haiti by France as repayment for the billions of dollars that Haiti was forced to pay France following the struggle for the abolition of slavery and the creation of the first African republic in the Western Hemisphere. Also demanding the removal of all foreign military troops from Haiti, no military occupation of Haiti, and also demanding the repudiation of the wet foot, dry foot policy that unfairly discriminates against Africans from Haiti that are trying to get into the U.S. So this march is demanding the establishment of an open-door policy that would allow Africans from Haiti to enter the United States and any other country unrestricted. So that's February 20th, and for any kind of updates or more information, you can go to the blackisbackcoalition.org website. So we want to get further into the issue of Haiti and the struggle in Haiti. And we've been doing a lot of work on this, Penny.
Uhuru, just want to say that's going to be a very powerful demonstration 2 weeks from yesterday, February 20th, Saturday in Miami. It's a national demonstration. It's being called by the Black is Back Coalition. And we want to call on white people to come out and support that and to take a stand. I think what's really important about that demonstration is that it's African people as a united people all around the world standing up to lead the question and the demands and to give leadership on how the whole issue of Haiti must be dealt with, and the fact that the only real solution for Haiti is the liberation of Africa and African people worldwide as one people. So I just think that this is a really new period. This isn't about a white left group or some kind of charity group. This is the organization of African people standing up to lead, to give leadership on that, and we have the opportunity to stand in solidarity with that. Also, we're going to be talking a little bit about what's happening in Haiti. Uhuru, Chairman.
We are joined in the studio by African Socialist International Chairman Omalia Shatella.
Uhuru. Uhuru. If you wanted to say something.
Just 2 minutes, because I'm in a conference.
Uhuru.
But I really appreciate the fact that you were notifying the listeners of the mobilization that's happening on February 20th in defense of Haiti. And I think that's going to be an extraordinarily important mobilization. There's going to be a national mobilization, as you mentioned, in Miami. But we're also organizing right now to hold a simultaneous mobilization in Nassau, Bahamas. And we're calling on people everywhere who have the ability to do so to come to these mobilizations. There are listeners in the Bahamas, and so you should be aware of that. And to get more information about that, you can go to blackfood.org, I think it is, or to, again, Black is Back Coalition.org. Black food, yes. Yes. Okay. That's a Nassau-based a group that's a part of the Black is Back Coalition for Self-Determination, for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations.
Excellent.
So they're organizing on that front, and some people will be coming from there to Miami as well. I think it's important that this happen, that African people take the leadership around this question, because the media are attempting to portray the situation in Haiti, even the earthquake, as having to do, like Pat Robertson said, with some pact we made with the devil. And of course, those who know anything about the Black movement understand who Elijah Muhammad and the once characterized as a devil, but that's another story. Or those who say something similar by declaring that the death toll in Haiti, the destruction in Haiti, has to do with a lack of transparency in the government and corruption and things like that. They try to use Haiti and the devastation there as a symbolic of the inability of African people to govern ourselves, that we are still portrayed as some childlike people who have to be controlled by white people. Situation has developed so that people come in to kidnap our babies, our children, to bring them to the United States and other places in the name of helping us, where the truth is that Haiti has been bled for centuries. In the first place, that the fact that there are Black people in Haiti is a statement of a crime.
Yes.
Because the indigenous peoples of that territory that's now known as Haiti have been completely wiped out, absolute genocide committed against them, and then African people brought there to for free labor, worked as beasts, actually with lifespan of 7 years or so. The brutality of the experience was such. And then, of course, when the African people in Haiti rose up and defeated what was supposed to have been the most significant military force on earth in the form of Napoleon's best soldiers, all of Europe, including the United States, got together, quarantined Haiti, and demanded that our people pay reparations to France for its loss of property, which was both the African people ourselves and the land that they had committed genocide to take from the indigenous people. And for more than 100 years, Africans were forced to pay reparations under the pressure of this international embargo against us. And then, of course, the U.S. invaded, set up a puppet government, changed the Constitution, that initially had prohibited anybody from outside of Haiti from buying land, now making land accessible to vultures who were coming from the United States and other places. And, of course, we're talking about 1915, 1934, and the only people running around buying and grabbing up land at this juncture were white people and white countries and things like that. So Haiti has paid a terrible price up until recently. And now you see Barack Hussein Obama talking about Bill Clinton and George W. Bush as somehow representing the aspirations of the of those who want to do better by Haiti to help the Haitian people. And these are two of the most recent plunderers, two of the most recent aggressors against our people in Haiti. So it is really urgent that African people take the leadership and build this mobilization and build it not treating Africans in Haiti as some kind of charity cases, but as victims of imperialism, the same victims as Africans here and other places around the world. And that Haiti has to be held as a symbol because Haiti was the vanguard in the struggle against imperialism and colonialism in the world. It was the first successful slave revolt, the first successful workers' revolution on the planet Earth was done there. And it was by black people at a time where black people were held in the most servile kind of servitude. And examples had to be created of Haiti. And for black people and other oppressed peoples around the world, Haiti reached out to everybody on earth and said that any person who is a slave on earth, if you get to Haiti, you can become free. And hundreds of African people who lived in this country did make it to Haiti to become free. And Simon Bolivar and others in Latin America who were suffering from Spanish oppression were assisted by Haiti. So there's the world owes Haiti a serious debt, and it is not Haiti who is a charity case. It's Haiti that's been isolated from too many of us, despite all that it has given to the rest of us. It has set the example. There are people who call themselves followers of Spartacus and what have you, and Spartacus made a wonderful struggle against the Roman Empire, etc., but he didn't succeed. The successful revolution that we should be looking at of slaves is that one that happened right a short distance from Florida in Haiti. And so we are demanding with this mobilization that reparations be paid by France, not only for the reparations that Africans were forced to pay, but for the more than 100 years of enslavement of our people by France. Africans in Haiti fed France for 100 years or more. We are demanding that reparations be paid by the United States for the looting of the treasury in 1934, that by the United States Marines after they left there, and then reparations should also be paid for the terror imposed on Haiti subsequent to that, the constitution that they imposed on the people of Haiti that allowed for the theft of our land and things like that, the imposition of neocolonial dictators like Papa Doc and Baby Doc Duvalier, the use of Haiti as a place for the most vicious kind of corporate U.S. Corporate aggression, etc. They need to pay reparations. They need to also reestablish democracy in Haiti. And that means that the United Nations, United States military has to go. Jean Bertrand Aristide needs to be permitted to come back into that country. They need to change this vicious anti-African immigration policy that they have regarding Africans from Haiti coming to this country. Any African from any place in the world, but especially in Haiti, that tries to come here, there needs to be an open-door policy. As much has been stolen from Africans in Haiti. When an African comes to this country looking for refuge, looking for some kind of resources, an African may not be conscious of it. But the truth of the matter is that he's chasing his own resources, resources that have been stolen and brought here to this country and transformed. So we are calling on everybody in the world to unite with these demands, unite with this mobilization, and come and support Haiti, not as some kind of charity case, but as our sisters and brothers in arms and struggle against a vicious, imperialist, and colonial system. So thank you. Uhuru.
Uhuru, Chairman, thank you so much for that statement of why we have to, everybody needs to support this demonstration on February 20th, and just the whole history of Haiti, just to study that alone gives you a picture of what parasitic capitalism really means. I mean, it's everything that's happened to African people all rolled up into one island, including the resistance of the people. And I think that, you know, I think that this consciousness of that the party has been struggling for, the understanding that Africans are one people all around the world, is just igniting, and the whole growth of the African Socialist International as the only solution, you know. I mean, just seeing an article is interesting, that the so-called Somali pirates, who are, of course, not pirates, they're trying to control their own land, have started their own earthquake relief to Haiti, and said that the U.S. can't do it because it's been pirating the earth for hundreds of years. And this reflects this growing, just, you know, amazing growing consciousness of African people around the world. And I think that, you know, that the Uhuru movement, the African People's Socialist Party, is on the forefront of this sense, this powerful emerging movement of African people growing up to control their own resources. There's no other solution for Haiti. And I just think it's a tremendous honor to be able to work under the leadership of this movement, to and other white people can be part of this. And we're calling on people to get a plane ticket if you live in another part of the country. Or if you live in Europe, come to this demonstration on February 20th and experience the solution put forward by African people themselves, which is the future of this planet.
Well, thank you. On the way out of here, I think that this should really help people, and I think the existence of the Black is Back Coalition should really help people to kind of reinterpret what it is that we mean by peace movement.
Yes.
And to say that the struggle for peace, you know, has to be go hand in glove with the struggle against imperialism. There cannot be a peace, a viable peace, as long as imperialism exists. And that while people may now be involved in anti-war mobilization or peace mobilization as it relates to Pakistan and Afghanistan, perhaps partially because there's a suspicion of possible involvement themselves, their children, or what have you, having to go and fight that these unjust wars. That doesn't seem to be the immediate case in Haiti. You know, that doesn't seem to threaten anybody. And to treat charity, Haiti as a charity case makes white people and oppressors feel good. They can say, well, this is a wonderful thing that I've done. But the truth of the matter is, if you take all the charity in the world and put it there in Haiti, it is not as though Africans in Haiti had wonderful lives before the earthquake. Mm-hmm. In fact, people were eating mud pies before the earthquake, and that has to do with their relationship with imperialism.
Yes.
So we call on everybody. You say that you're an anti-imperialist, then join in this mobilization. You really want peace. Join in this mobilization, because peace, again, is not simply the absence of an obvious kind of aggression. It is the living under imperialist domination is violates the peace and the stability of the peoples of the world. So if people are able to see those African people in Haiti as human beings, just like themselves, then they would be able to unite with the aspiration of people to be free from domination, U.S. imperial domination, and to have control of their own lives. Because it has been this resources, this parasitic relationship that has resulted in Haiti's inability to have the kind of infrastructure that would have allowed the people to survive that. I have lived through earthquakes of the same magnitude in Oakland, California, where only a handful of people died. But Oakland in California is a place where stolen wealth comes from the oppressed peoples of the world, and they use that to reinforce and create infrastructure on the one hand. But those places from where the wealth comes, from whence it comes, suffer mightily, as is the case with Haiti. So thank you for letting me intervene on your program. I know I've taken up much of your time. I really appreciate it. I'm in the middle of a conference now, but I knew you were speaking on this critical issue and just wanted to have an opportunity to say a few things.
Thank you so much, Chairman Uhuru.
Uhuru. Thank you, Chairman Amalia Shetela of the African Socialist International. And again, that's on Saturday, February 20th, beginning at 10 a.m. in Miami. The rally will convene at Athali Range Park, located at 525 Northwest 62nd Street in Miami at 10 a.m., and then march to the U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Center. And for more information, you can continue to visit the website blackisbackcoalition.org. So the chairman gave us a fantastic, really powerful and concise review of the history and current, you know, the basis for the struggle in Haiti today. He mentioned about the U.S., imposition of neocolonialism in Haiti. We do have a clip of the Tantama coup. Do we want to run that, Penny, or do we want to get right into the current military occupation?
I do want to run that.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say, first of all, too, that there is an excellent PowerPoint up on uhurunews.com. It's also on www.apscuhuru.org, apscuhuru.org. On Haiti, the devastation began in 1492. That gets a lot of the history that the chairman just put out and talked about what the solutions have to be. So I want you to check that out. And to just say before we begin this clip that we have to understand this is, we're going to talk about this a little bit more later in the program, but the people of Haiti are still starving. Food has not reached them. We have some reports on that. People are still without medical care. the Marines, 13,000 Marines, plus 11,000 other military forces, including the murderous United Nations forces, which have been responsible for just openly going into soccer games and killing people who they considered were La Valas supporters, which is the party of Jean-Bertrand Aristide. They've lived under terror. The people of Haiti have lived under terror under the UN occupation, and prior to that, U.S. And the Tentamacout is part of the terror that the U.S. has waged against the Africans in Haiti ever since they won their independence, and in 206 years ago. So we want to hear a little bit about who they were, because what we're seeing today is ongoing terror against Africans in Haiti. So this is a little bit about the history of the Tentamacout.
For 3 years, Jean-Jacques Honorat ran the Haitian Center for Human Rights in New York. He was thrown out of Haiti in 1980 for criticizing the Duvalier regime. Now back from exile, he believes the Macoutes may have killed as many as 100,000 people under Baby Doc.
Murder and denunciation were the instruments of terror. Killing was the only way for the regime to maintain what they call peace and stability, what was labeled. Even in the American press, peace and stability. Remember that. That's how you used to call the situation in Haiti, peace and stability, right?
What would you have called it?
Peace and stability, yes, but peace and stability that exists in a cemetery. Haiti was a cemetery.
We went to a graveyard, if you can call it a graveyard, a dumping ground for bodies near the towns of Beau-Repos and Titayin, where local people told us that the Tentamacouts had just dumped people that they had killed, disposed of them there.
Well, it was known that Titayin was for dead bodies, for people killed by the Tentamacouts.
Did the Americans know what was happening here in Haiti? The extent of what was happening, the embassies, the State Department, the White House?
They knew, of course. We've been saying that Haiti was America's best-kept secret.
If the countryside was a place of terror for some, it was a land of opportunity for anyone with the Duvaliers and the Macoutes behind them. Americans could do big business here if they bought the right friends. Butch Ashton built up a multi-million dollar string of businesses under the Duvaliers. Large American firms that want to invest hire him for his government connections and his knowledge of how Haiti works.
Our famous Tentamacouts, quote unquote, were trained by our U.S. Marine Corps, whether we realize it or not, and armed by our United States government as well. We propped up Baby Doc. We kept him in power.
When you say that the Marines trained the Tentamacout, what do you mean?
Well, I mean what I said. I'm saying that during 1961, 62, we had a U.S. naval mission here that was supposedly training the army. And at the same time we were training the army, we were knowingly training the militia, which part of that militia was the Tentamacout, but the militia was the Volunteers of Sécurité Nationale. And our weapons, our M1s, our rejected weapons, were given to the militia, and our new weapons were given to the army. And we knew this, and we had actual Marines training these civilians. And anybody that doesn't know this is fooling themselves and not myself, because I was here during that whole period.
The Marines commander later denied knowingly training Macoutes.
Did you ever see any of the Marines train the Tentamacout?
Certainly.
Uhuru. I just wanted to run that to show the U.S. involvement in that, the U.S. training of these death squads called the Tentamacout. Tentamacout is a word in the Haiti language that means Uncle Gunny Sack. It's a fearful figure in the lore of Haiti who would kidnap children who stayed out too late. Well, actually, that means it has to be the U.S. government, which is responsible for kidnapping children now, or U.S. Missionaries and that kind of thing as well. And the Tentamacout under the Duvaliers, who were propped up by the U.S. government, were just complete terrorists to maintain U.S. Corporate and political and economic power in Haiti, and to maintain the oppression of of the Africans in Haiti who had fought for their liberation very powerfully for the last 200 years. So, but we see in response to the earthquake that the U.S. has sent in more than 13,000 Marines, and there's at least 11,000 other military forces in Haiti, including the United Nations. So Sandy's going to play a clip that was on Al Jazeera's website.
It's from a story on Al Jazeera called Haitian Earthquake Aid or Army Occupation.
The most visible face of the international aid effort here in Port-au-Prince. Most Haitians here have seen little humanitarian aid so far. What they have seen is guns, and lots of them. Armored personnel carriers cruise the streets. UN soldiers aren't here to help pull people out of the rubble. They're here, they say, to enforce the law. This is what much of the UN presence actually looks like on the streets of Port-au-Prince. Men in uniform, racing around in vehicles, carrying guns. At the entrance to the city's airport, where most of the aid's coming in, there's anger and frustration. Much needed supplies of water and food are inside. Haitians are locked out.
These weapons they bring, they are instruments of death. We don't want them. We don't need them. We are a traumatized people. What we want from the international community is technical help. Action, not words.
And beyond the well-guarded perimeter, there's something else going on. Here, the United States has taken control. It looks more like the Green Zone in Baghdad than a center for aid distribution. Heavily armed U.S. forces patrol the entrances. Even within the airport, these soldiers are never without weapons. There are several thousand on the ground already, and that number's expected to grow. America now decides who lands in Haiti, and there's a constant stream of U.S. aircraft arriving with thousands of U.S. boots on the ground. Meanwhile, aid flights from other nations are being turned back. Two Mexican aircraft with vital life-saving equipment were told they couldn't land on Saturday.
But we don't need soldiers as such. You know, there's no war here.
Patrice Ely is the former Haitian defense minister. He's concerned with the way the Americans have taken over the relief effort.
The choice of what lands and what doesn't land should, you know, the priorities of the flight should be determined by the Haitians. So otherwise, it's a takeover, and what might happen is that the need of Haitians are not taken into account, but only either the way a foreign country defines the need of Haiti or try to push its own agenda.
While the aid operation arriving at the airport grows by the hour, bodies still rot in the streets. And Haitians continue to dig through rubble by themselves, wondering when the help they actually need will arrive.
Well, he said it looked like the Green Zone in Baghdad. And the presence of this huge military operation, it just belies this whole idea of Haiti as, oh, this impoverished thing. Obviously, it's so important to imperialism to prevent, you know, another people's, you know, victory
revolution
in Haiti.
Yes. I mean, that's really clear. And actually, Aristide has put out several press releases recently saying that he would come back to the country. The people want him to come back, but the U.S. has the control not
right.
to let him in, since
right.
it kidnapped him in 2004 and sent him to an African country.
Right.
I just wanted to say a couple of things. That clip from Al Jazeera noted that other countries are being kept out by the U.S., and in particular Cuba and Venezuela, who have offered tremendous aid. Cuba already had several hundred doctors on the ground in Haiti just because of the conditions, the colonial conditions of Haiti anyway, and they wanted to bring in at least 100 more. The U.S. has kept them out, and aid from Venezuela and even from what's called the CARICOM, which is the U.S.'s own Caribbean command, Other Caribbean islands that wanted to send in aid are not being allowed to do that. So, this is a takeover. This is a military takeover. Yeah. And I think it's really interesting, this article that I read that was in USA Today. The date was the 24th of January, but it was saying that it's not the Marines, the U.S. Marines' first time in Haiti. Troops were here in 2004 to prevent massacres in the wake of the ouster of President Jean-Pedrand Aristide, which is ridiculous because it's the U.S. and the United Nations that have perpetrated the massacres repeatedly. Mm-hmm. But the article goes on to say Haiti is a major part of Marine Corps lore for other reasons. The Marines governed Haiti from 1915 to 1934 after an invasion force was sent to prevent an anti-American dictator from assuming power in 1915. Young non-commissioned officers governed Haiti with little supervision. That means rampant murders. The Marines were reminded of that history as they prepared for the Haiti mission, said Lieutenant Colonel Gary Keim, who commands a logistics battalion. We were required to reread it, he said. We've been here before. We've been successful before. The Marines viewed these years as a model for nation-building and counterinsurgency strategy. Many Haitians viewed it as imperialism. Roads, bridges, and schools were built during the U.S. occupation, but that did little to help Haiti govern itself. And it just goes on to say that they can't deny that it was an imperialist takeover of Haiti for all those years.
Well, so what is the status of the food and other aid, reaching the people of Haiti at this point?
I would just like to read a little bit from this article, which was printed yesterday, February 6th, 2010, on informationclearinghouse.org by Bill Quigley. It says, Haiti still starving 23 days later. He said, you can walk down many of the streets of Port-au-Prince and see absolutely no evidence that the world community has helped Haiti. 23 days after the earthquake jolted Haiti and killed over 200,000 people, as many as a million people still have not received any international food assistance. On February 4th, the UN World Food Program reported they had given at least some food, mostly 55-pound bags of rice, to over a million people. The UN acknowledges that it still needs to reach another 1 million people. The 55 pounds of rice are expected to provide a two-week food ration for a family. Beans and cooking oil are scheduled to come later. So they've been given a little rice. The Associated Press reported that people in Haiti at small protests were holding up banners reading, "Help us, we're starving." Mm. Over a million people are displaced. About 100,000 families are in tents. The rest are living under sheets, blankets, and tarps. One of the people living under a sheet is a brand new mother with her one-day-old baby. The New York Times reports that Rosalie Antoine, 33, and her one-day-old baby were living in a neighbor's yard with puppies and chickens under a sheet in the Bel Air neighborhood of Port-au-Prince. Haiti and the United Nations estimate 250,000 children under the age of 7 are living in temporary housing. Most need vaccination. Flavia Cherry of the Caribbean Association for Feminist Research and Action this week witnessed a pregnant double amputee give birth on the ground in one of the tent camps without any medical assistance at all. This poor mother had nothing, no milk, no clothing for the baby, nothing. So just to, it just goes on to say that it's clear, the number one goal is a military occupation of Haiti. The number two goal is to open up Haiti for more exploitation. They have reportedly have oil and many other resources, not to mention the whole sweatshops that are rampant that we're going to talk about a little bit on the second half of this program in Haiti.
Well, as we're talking about Haiti, and just like you said earlier when the chairman was in here and was talking about the demonstration and the attempt by Africans to come together to do for self and to solve the problems of African people by joining together as one people, you know, it's so clear, as you said, that the only solution is the African Socialist International and the ability for African people to solve and can lead their own development, because the only response from the U.S., from the imperialists, is to deepen the exploitation and deepen the domination of African people worldwide. And we want to put out a call at this point to all of our listeners who are listening to the program here on uhururadio.com, Solidarity Not Charity, the weekly program of the African People Solidarity Committee, that we want to really seriously call on all of our listeners to make a contribution today to the work that is being done to send two organizers from the African Socialist International, from the African People's Socialist Party here in the U.S. to Kenya. You know, the party, if people were listening to Africa Live just prior to this show, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, who is the director of the party's agitation and propaganda department, was playing a lot of clips of the recent conference that happened last year in Kenya, where Chairman O'Malley spoke, Luwazi Kinshasa, who's the Secretary General of the African Socialist International, spoke, and they got a huge response from the people in Kenya to form the African People's Socialist Party and build the African Socialist International there in East Africa. And when we talk about Haiti, we can see that the only solution is to build one Africa, one nation worldwide where African people can solve these problems. We also saw a couple of weeks ago the conference of the All African Peoples Development and Empowerment Project, which is a on-the-ground effort of the Uhuru movement to bring together scientists, engineers, technicians to advance the development of the African world as led by African people, gaining control of their own resources. Well, they are working to get into Haiti, working with people on the ground in Haiti to help do real development of infrastructure and of basic survival institutions for the people of Haiti. This is all part of the same effort of the Uhuru movement to build one Africa, one nation. And we've been involved over the past month in raising funds to send people to Kenya to be able to consolidate the African Socialist International in that part of the world. And about roughly $4,000 have been raised so far, and we want to really thank those listeners who have made your contributions and supported that effort so far. We want to call on you today to redouble that contribution, to make it, if you haven't donated already, donate today. If you have already and you can donate again, donate again. About $3,000 more is needed to make this trip. Two organizers are going to be going from the U.S. to East Africa, and a conference is going to be held in East Africa to build the African Socialist International. And this is so profound and so deep because the repression in Nairobi, in Kenya, is so heavy, you know, that there has been, as people who attended the conference last year said to the organizers, wow, this is the first time since the Mau Mau and since the liberation struggle that anyone in Kenya has talked about building socialism and gaining control of the resources for the people, for the workers and peasants that create the wealth, to gain control of those resources. So it's a hugely important trip that affects all of the African world, affects Haiti, affects Sierra Leone, affects South Africa, affects African people here in the U.S., the ability to form an international organization that can fight for the rights and needs and take control of African resources for African people. So the way you can donate, you can either send a check into the Uhuru House to Burning Spear, Uhuru Publications. You can send to 1245 18th Avenue South, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33705. Or you can go on the website today to uhurunews.com website, uhururadio.com website, and in the top right-hand corner, you'll see a big button saying Donate to Uhuru in Africa Fund. Go there now. You're listening, so we know you're on the internet. You can just go up there and click, use your credit card, your debit card, make a contribution today. $3,000 more is needed in order to be able to make that trip, and let's be a part of that effort. Let's make our contribution and make that possible and make that successful. so that African people in Haiti and African people worldwide can live and can prosper and can build a new world. So we wanted to encourage people to do that as we are talking about Haiti. You know, to get back into our discussion about the current situation in Haiti, and even as we talk about the resources that are needed for the African struggle, you know, Africa, as the chairman has said, is key, and not just the continent of Africa, but wherever African people are located, it's key to the effort by imperialism to save itself and to continue to provide wealth and luxury for white people worldwide at the expense of African and other colonized peoples. And we're seeing that happen even in the wake of this terrible disaster in Haiti, where these corporate vultures are doing everything they can to exploit the suffering of the people of Haiti. And we have a clip addressing the situation of sweatshop labor in Haiti by the Disney Corporation. And of course, the Disney, Nike, and others have been using Haiti for many years for complete slave labor in the sweatshops to make these Disney T-shirts and all these branded product that they sell, and all kind of clothing you're wearing in the U.S. is made in sweatshops in Haiti. So we have a clip on that. Shall I share that now?
Yes, let's do that.
All right.
Well, the profits that are made by the fashion industry and these conglomerates are astronomical. And not to be concerned for the people's lives is a totally disastrous attitude, especially from a company like Walt Disney that makes their living and has made their living on children, and very fortunate children. We pay dearly to support their amusement parks and their theme parks, and their products and their services are overcharged, and they benefit only the well-to-do.
Hey, Disney is huge. They're a conglomeration of people and an organization. I mean, some people have been known to call it Mauschwitz.
We pay $12 for a shirt that they pay the workers 7 cents to make.
Terrible.
And to make a tremendous fortune. And what we're asking them to do is come to Haiti with us and improve conditions for the workers. The workers are asking for 60 U.S. cents an hour. It's nothing.
Nothing, really nothing.
And they won't even go down there and consider it. It's nothing.
It's terrible. So what do we have to do?
How much is it for a plate of food?
It's 65 cents.
What does that include?
Bananas, rice, and vegetables.
It's 6:30 in the morning. The workers are arriving at the free trade zones. There are nearly 20,000 workers in Haiti assembling goods for American companies for export to the United States. Companies like Walmart, Kmart, JCPenney, the Walt Disney Company. The U.S. companies are attracted to Haiti by the poverty, the misery, the high unemployment. It allows the companies to pay wages of 30 cents an hour, $2.40 a day. In Haiti, the workers are paid by piece rate. In a typical day, a worker will have to do 1,500 operations. In the Disney factories and the contractors' factories, the quota is set so high that the workers can only earn the minimum wage. This is not a Disney factory. Disney would not let us into their factories. Yet these workers make three times what the Disney workers earn. In fact, the wages that the Disney workers earn amount to only 0.5% of the sales price of the Disney garments in the United States. And Disney says, don't worry, the cost of living in Haiti is not the same as the United States. Well, Haiti imports 70% of what it consumes, and food in Haiti can be just as expensive as it is in the United States. The Disney workers don't live from hand to mouth. They live as indentured servants. They live on credit. They live from debt to debt. If the workers try to defend themselves, if they try to defend their rights, they're fired.
Uhura. That's from a documentary that I found on YouTube, and there's more to it, and people should look at it just to see what the reality is every day when we say what it means for sweatshops, for enslaved labor, for when we talk about parasitic capitalism, as which is capitalism as Chairman O'Malley Ashatella has defined it, capitalism that was born from slavery and genocide and exists on the tremendous, incredible violence and repression and exploitation of African and oppressed people around the world, it's good to look at what that really means. People think that, oh, yeah, it's cheaper there. It's cheaper over there, so it doesn't matter that they live
it's
on
not.
A dollar a day.
It's not.
In fact, you're talking about the fact that a bag of rice can cost the entire wages of a middle-class teacher in Africa.
For a month,
yeah. And you're talking about, we're talking about raising this money for the party to party members, Nubinga and Omowale Kayfing, editor of the Burning Spear, to go to Kenya. It costs $1,000 to rent a venue there just to have the training that they're going to have. And, you know, for a few days. This is how it is. So it's really important that we understand that when we're talking about Haiti, we have to be talking about raising money for the party to build the African Socialist International all around the world. That is the only solution.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy put out a call a few minutes ago. I know I'm giving $50 to this renewed pledge that we're trying to raise for the last minute for this trip to happen beginning Thursday. They're taking off Thursday. And we just got a call from Comrade Kitty Riley from African People's Solidarity Committee. She's giving $50. And anybody else that can donate to this, email us or call us or, you know, call in to the line and let us know. And also we have an email from Omowale Kayfing, the editor of the Burning Spear newspaper. Just like to, Sandy's going to read that. And thank you for sending that in.
We did get an email from Burning Spear newspaper editor Omowale Kayfing, and he says, "Uhuru, Penny, I think you are right. Or you are so right as to the so-called pirate support of Africans in Haiti being a clear statement on the growing tide of African internationalism. There have been many natural disasters over the world, but these comrades chose Africans in Haiti to support. I think it's important that the media mentions that some of the reparations appropriated by the Somali comrades goes directly to the community. And we can also state clearly that no earthquake imaginable can cause the death and destruction comparable to what white power imperialism has caused for the Africans in Haiti and elsewhere in the world." Omowale Kayfing.
Uhuru.
And we
Thank
had to
you.
Put out the phone number because we have so much information we're trying to give out. But we would like to hear from you, particularly if you want to let everybody know that you're making a pledge, a financial contribution to sending Uhuru organizers to Africa. So please call in to 727-565-1599. And if we're not able to pick up your call, please send an email to dj@uhururadio.com and let us know that you are also contributing to the effort to send Uhuru movement organizers to Kenya next week.
Uhuru. Just, we have another clip here. This is a brief clip from the Rachel Maddow show that was on a couple nights ago. And it was an interview with Jeremy Scahill on the current rush to make money at African people's expense in Haiti. To just say it's an ongoing process, Disney, Nike, you know, as we just heard about on the previous clip, well, it's intensifying. They've found oil. We know that cruise ships have been docking in Haiti since the earthquake, as people are suffering and dying. They've been in other parts of Haiti having their parties and having their fun. And there's been a lot of talk about making Haiti into a tourist spot, which it's so many parallels to what has happened in New Orleans since the hurricane, where the African population has been driven out, but it's still a center of culture, of African culture, mm-hmm. but the African people are driven out. Now elected a white mayor, the former governor, mm-hmm. For the first time in something like 40 or 50 years, mm-hmm. it has a white mayor now because mm-hmm. Africans have been driven out of New Orleans. And, you know, they're trying to do the same thing in Haiti with the kidnapping of the children and driving the population out or just blatantly murdering them. But let's listen to this clip.
Who else in the contracting world is in Haiti? Jeremy Scahill reports for The Nation that just a few days after the earthquake, a Florida-based company called All Pro Legal Investigations registered the URL haiti-security.com. Here's what the company claims it can provide. Quote, professional security against any threat to prosperity in Haiti. Job sites and supply convoys will be protected against looters and vandals. Workers will be protected against gang violence and intimidation. And if you order now, you get armed cargo escorts dealing with worker unrest and high threat terminations. The company that registered HaitiSecurity.com is literally offering that on their website. High threat terminations. Joining us now is Jeremy Scahill, reporter for The Nation, author of the book Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Do security contractors currently have a presence in Haiti? What do we know about what they're doing there?
Yeah, I mean, security contractors have been in Haiti since the 1990s. Bill Clinton, in fact, started sending in this company, DynCorp, and that kind of created this paramilitary program that Bush then put on steroids and unleashed in Iraq and Afghanistan. So there's been a longstanding presence of contractors there. But what we're seeing now, and you just mentioned this Florida company. I mean, these guys are nobodies in the security industry, but they saw a moment to make a buck. They buy this URL and hope that, you know, for the best. But some of the kingpins of the mercenary industry, like DynCorp and Triple Canopy, are hiring right now guys for deployment in Haiti. So I would predict that a month from now, when reconstruction starts happening, we're going to see more of these companies coming into Haiti, and private businesses will hire them also. And there's going to be serious questions about who oversees them. What law do they fall under? Is the United States going to be monitoring U.S. citizens that are working for private companies on contract with other private companies? It seems like the last thing Haitians need, yet more unaccountable people with guns in their country.
In addition to stealing the resources and the labor of the people of Haiti, white people are also going in and stealing the children. Do you? We had a clip as well on the 10 citizens, U.S. citizens currently facing trial for attempting to steal 33 children from Haiti. So let's listen to that real quick.
These are some of the 33 Haitian children an American Baptist group allegedly tried to unlawfully take out of the country on Saturday. Orphans and abandoned children, victims of the earthquake, some as young as 2 months old. The Haitian authorities stopped the bus they were on as they were about to cross into neighboring Dominican Republic. With them were 10 Americans. They are now in police custody. And they reportedly say they were planning to set up an orphanage for the children in the Dominican Republic.
Our understanding was that we were told by a number of people, including Dominican authorities, that we would be able to bring the children across. I understand that. Sir, that's the mistake obviously we made, is we did not understand that there was additional paperwork required.
The group insists this was an act of charity, not profit, with the consent of the children's families.
I saw that family members were giving them away because the parents were dead, and the family members couldn't support them. So the families were giving their children up so they could be cared for and to study.
The earthquake has left tens of thousands of children homeless. And the chaos it brought makes Haiti ripe for human trafficking. That's why the government imposed tight restrictions on adoption earlier this month. Restrictions, it says, the American group has violated.
Uhuru, so I think it's really clear that the only solution is the African Socialist International, is the organizing of African people under the leadership of the African working class to liberate and unite African people everywhere, to liberate Africa, get rid of the borders, and to reclaim the resources and the land of Africa as the birthright of African people everywhere. This is, it makes sense. Everything else is, you know, Jeremy Scahill said, well, who would the United States monitor these security forces going in there? Of course not. Who's going to, you know, monitor the U.S. and the United Nations, who have been killing and slaughtering the African people for the last 200 years there and enslaved them before that? So, of course not. The U.S. is the criminal. It is not doing anything to help the people of Haiti. The only thing that can is the organization of African people themselves. What we want you to do, white people and other allies of the African Liberation Movement, is become a member of Uhuru Solidarity Movement. You can join that by going to APSCUhuru.org.
APSCUHURUSOLIDARITY.org.
And HURUSOLIDARITY.org. It's $25 a year. It's a way to stand on the forward side of history, stand in solidarity with the liberation of oppressed people. We want you to come to the demonstration February 20th in Atlanta, in Miami, Florida. You can find out more information on that at www.blackisbackcoalition.org. And we want you to donate to the fund to send organizers from the African People's Socialist Party to Kenya. They're leaving on Thursday. They're going to be doing training and organizing in Nairobi to build the African Socialist International there in Kenya. And it's a very powerful movement that's growing up all over the world. So we call on you to do anything that you can to support this movement. Jump in. And again, for more information, come to APSCUHURU.org.
And you can click on the link, donate to the Uhuru in Africa Fund. So thank you, Chairwoman Penny Hess of the African People's Solidarity Committee. I think it's been an excellent program talking about the history and the current situation in Haiti.
We want to thank Chairman O'Malley Shatella for coming in and contributing to the show today.
Unplanned,
very powerful way.
And fantastic.
Our surprise guest.
Our surprise guest. So this is the end of Solidarity Not Charity, and we're going to go out with the song we started with, which is Carlos Santana performing a song, Toussaint Louverture. Did I say that right?
That's right.
All right. Uhuru.